recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we'll be doing Ask Kurt Anything, where the fans can ask me whatever they want. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Hey, Kurt, I'm doing great. Excited to be here. And yeah, last minute pivot. We had other plans, and for whatever reason, that changed and shifted. So we thought, let's open it up to the fans. And my God, they came in full force. We got all kinds of questions, buddy, and we are going to have a blast this week. But before we get there, two things I wanted to start with. First of all, you know, when recording a show with you, Kurt, I never know from week to week what's going to hit the newswire. What's going to make it? What's going to be that one nugget
hit this week?
What's going to be that one nugget that you share about wrestling that's just going to get all over the place? And you know what the one news nugget that I saw that hit the wrestling newswire?
Throw it at me.
Your sex life has never been better since you redid your nuptials with your wife. So congratulations, Kurt. I hope that you continue to hump like bunnies, buddy. But that's the one that hit the newswire.
Well, they're not lying. It really is.
Oh, man. I saw that, and it made me laugh so hard. And I'm like, you know, and we had a lot of fun.
Of all things we talked about, that is the one thing they picked up.
But it's fun. It's fun. And you know what? We have so much fun doing the show. I think I laughed the hardest for the week recording this one-hour show with you. And that's what it's about, man. I tell people, I try to tap in to Kurt's personality outside of the wrestling that you did and winning the Olympic gold medal. Part of what really got you over with the fans was your sense of humor and everything that you did with those skits in WWE. We watch them and you can't help but laugh at yourself. And I think it really comes through on the podcast, and I enjoy it, man.
Good. I'm glad you enjoy it, Paul.
Oh, there you go. Well, listen, something else I enjoyed that came out this week, and this wasn't from our show. This came out from Kenny Omega, and I want to read something to you, and I want to get your response. This actually was written, I saw this on Wrestling Inc. I want to give credit to Matthew Wilkinson. Shout out, Matthew. I put out the article, the title, Kenny Omega Says Kurt Angle is the Best for a Reason. And Matthew said, in Kenny Omega's opinion, Kurt Angle is the best to have ever done it in professional wrestling. Recently, Omega responded to a social media question asking who would win a match between him and Angle at the peak levels by tweeting, I don't study myself when I want to learn. I study Kurt Angle. He's the best for a reason. I take the L, but it'd be a heck of a match. He said he would take the L, and it would be a heck of a match.
Wow, man.
Yeah, listen, it goes on. Matthew Wilkinson says, the explosiveness that the AEW star brings into the ring certainly invokes some similarities to the Olympic gold medalist. Angle has been complimentary of Omega in the past, displaying that the respect is mutual. He named the elite members specifically on his list of dream opponents that he never got to share the ring with when active. Tony Khan has attempted to bring Angle into the company previously, which theoretically could have opened the door for this dream encounter. However, Angle has made it clear he wants to stay loyal to WWE, even though he has previously joked he will get in the ring and compete against Omega for a $10 million payday. Kurt, all joking aside and all that deal, how special is it to still hear that come from Kenny Omega?
You know what? Someone like Kenny Omega, the impact he has on wrestling today, how good he is. I mean, I think he's one of the best today, without a doubt.
Amazing. Yes.
For him to say that about me, it's a complete honor. I mean, I've been keeping my eyes on this kid for the last 10 years, wrestling over Japan, everywhere else but the WWE. And I'm surprised WWE never picked him up. I don't even know if he wanted to go to WWE, because I think if WWE really wanted, or he really wanted to go, yeah, I think WWE would have hired him.
Sure.
But for some reason, he didn't want to go there. But I respect his decision, and I just think he's the best today.
Man, it gives me goosebumps when I was reading that to glance over at you and kind of see your face as you just kind of took all that in, because he is one of the best in the world right now. You know, obviously it depends what you're looking for. Roman Reigns, obviously big star with WWE, but, and when you're talking about five and whatever, six, seven, eight star matches, it's hard to beat Kenny Omega, man. He's done a lot of them.
He definitely has more five, we'll just call him five star.
Yeah. Matches. Yeah.
More five star matches than anyone today. Mm-hmm. Really.
Mm-hmm. Complete stud, and it makes me proud to hear him put you over like that. And so I wanted to touch on it right at the beginning and get your comments on it. So always
cool to
hear.
He's a very smart man.
Very smart man. I love it. Hey, let's jump into the questions, because the first one has to do with Kenny Omega, and it comes from West Coast Pop, and he says, how would you book a feud between you and Kenny Omega if it ever were to happen? So how do you book it, Kurt?
Well, one thing we wouldn't do, we're not going to have some cage match, or we're not going to have a hardcore match. Yeah. What we're going to have is a technical wrestling match. I think Kenny and I add value to that, that is our forte, and that's what we would be able to bring to the table. And it would be like Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle. I really believe that. A little different, because Kenny's a little more of a high flyer.
Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, it would be almost the same.
Man, when you talk about dream matches, that one's got to rank right up there for so many of us wrestling fans.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's right behind Bret Hart. If not, he's tied with Bret Hart, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we can talk Bret Hart from yesteryear generation. Maybe this generation, we'd love to see you and Kenny Omega if we picked a wrestler, without a doubt.
And I missed both of them because I was right in between.
Right in between. Sandwiched right in between. Kurt Angle, there you go. So good. All right, we'll continue on. Instagram, a wrestling historian. He said, have you thought about opening your own wrestling school? Thanks in advance. We've talked about this a little bit before. Kurt, I don't know. Will you ever change your mind, do you think, or are you happy with where you're at now?
You know what? I'm happy where I am. I did have a wrestling club, amateur wrestling club, for a while. But when I started pro wrestling, that had to be gone. That was finished. But I never thought about having a wrestling school, probably because I don't have the time. If I don't have the time, I'm not going to put in the effort that's necessary to make these guys superstars. You know, you want to make sure that you have a great wrestling school, and that a lot of your wrestlers end up getting hired with certain companies. And you want to be able to have like a great reputation doing that. I can't put in that time necessary to make that happen.
What about, would you ever consider doing any freelance work? Like, say a wrestling school wanted to, for the right money, of course, but wanted to bring you in and say, hey, Kurt, would you spend 2 days with us, just helping us at our school with some of the top talent? Would you consider something like that?
You know what? I've been offered a few times, and I turned it down because I don't do seminars anymore. Okay. I wish I did. Ever since I got my knees replaced, I never thought about it. You know, I could probably get in the ring and still be okay, but I just, you know, I've been out of the game for so long. I don't know how well I would be able to coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, man, I'm telling you, insight, you watching people, what you've seen and what you've learned. I mean, I don't know what wrestler.
I can give my opinions all day long. I just can't get in the ring and train with them.
Yeah. So if the school's willing to take that version of you, hey, 1-800 Kurt Angle. There you go. Vincent Hart is up next. He said, Kurt, in high school, what weight class did you wrestle at, and did you win nationals? We'll start with that question, then he has a follow-up. So what weight class, and did you win nationals?
Well, I was a small heavyweight. I weighed about 205 pounds. I wrestled guys that were like 275, 280, and I wrestled heavyweight. I also won the junior nationals in high school my senior year. That was right before I headed to Clarion University. That's where I went to college. And I had a great high school career. I wasn't a multiple-time state champion, not a three or four or even two-timer. I was a one-time state champion. I was a late bloomer. But after I won states and won junior nationals in high school, it's like the rocket went off. I mean, in college, I ended up in the finals 3 years in a row. I won two national titles. I ended up winning six national titles at the U.S. Open, world championship, and Olympic gold medal. And I'm not bragging about all my accomplishments. I just have to run down.
You just rattled them off quicker than anything I've ever heard. I love it. Right on the tip of your tongue.
Sounds like I said this before, huh?
Yeah, right. Hey, but You know, but listen, you said once you got it down pat, knew what you were doing, the rocket ship was tied to your back. He wants to know, did you have any specific wrestling go-to moves in high school? And he mentioned leg riding, had an arm takedown, etc. Did you have some go-tos?
Well, you know what? Leg riding is for tall people. I'm not tall. I'm 5'11", 6 foot at most. But a head and arm, that's a headlock.
Okay.
I wasn't into the big high risk wrestling moves. You know, when you do throws or headlocks, that's where you give up your body and they can actually score on you when you try it. I was more conservative. I would do duck unders and low singles. That was my forte. I wasn't very good on top because I wrestled heavyweight and I couldn't hold these guys down because I was 70 pounds lighter. So I was really good on bottom, though. I was explosive. I got up and out within 2 seconds every time. Nobody could hold me down, but my takedown skills and my bottom skills really worked extremely well and made me very successful in amateur wrestling.
There you go. The bottom skills is where
I wish I would have learned top more. I would have wished I would have learned how to pin more. I think I would have had a lot more successful career. I only had 10 pins in college.
Okay.
Out of 127 matches. So that's not a lot.
Yeah. It's interesting because you did rattle off all that success for you to come back and say, I wish I would have, you know, worked on my top game. I could have had more success. No, what are you talking about? Perfect.
Yeah. Everybody has something they can work on.
But I love that. I love that, that you're still willing to look back and look at your game and say, hey, I could have been stronger here. And I think that's a lesson for anyone training. You might be the top of your game and think you're all that in a bag of chips, but there's always something to work on, right, Kurt?
Oh yeah. You can always improve on everything. Yes.
All right, let's move on. Hype is up next. He's at It's Only Hype. He says, the match between yourself and Brock at WrestleMania or Shane, which one was more special? Why are you laughing?
Complete opposites. Jeez.
Yeah.
One match was more of a technical type of match, and the other match was a street fight. Yeah. They were both special in their own way. Shane McMahon, I remember having that match. We got so banged up, we both ended up in the hospital. I told you this before, Paul. And Brock and I, we got banged up there, too. I wrestled with a broken neck when I wrestled Brock, and he almost broke his neck. So we all ended up in the hospital after these matches. So
yeah,
that's the only similarity. But from a technical standpoint, the Brock Lesnar match is one of my favorites. And from a street fight standpoint, obviously, Shane McMahon, he has the best street fights in the history of wrestling. He really does.
Which one gets talked about more to you? Which one do you get asked about more?
You know what? Surprisingly, they're about equal.
Okay.
Because I am surprised because Brock Lesnar was WrestleMania.
Yeah.
A lot of people always talk about that, especially the botched spot that he didn't complete. Shane McMahon, that street fight, fans bring that up all of the time. So it's almost like we wrestled at WrestleMania. That's how big it was.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Stephen Rowe is up next. How much fun was it working with Sting, Nash, Scott Steiner, and Booker in the Main Event Mafia days? It looked like you guys had the best time out there every week. Any funny memories or stories you can share with us? So talk about those guys. How was that?
You know what? This was all Kevin Nash's idea, and he was brilliant. You know, if you think about it, you know, he was with the Click. He was with the NWO. He's with the Main Event Mafia. It's like this guy is gold. Everything he steps in, you know, turns to gold. But we had a special group of guys. That was really cool. That's the best faction in the history of TNA. No doubt about it, bar none. I really wish we could have done that in the WWE. That would have been a lot of fun. I really thought it was a special group. The one thing I remember, and I loved it, is when Scott Steiner did this promo and he was talking about fractions and stuff.
Steiner math.
That was, you know what, anytime he did that, you know what's crazy? If you look at it, you go back and look at it.
Yeah.
Right. Like all the numbers were correct.
I mean, he took us on a ride to get there, but it was something else.
Yeah, you have to slow it down and write down everything. Yeah. You'll see that he's right on the numbers.
You got to pull out your crayon and napkin to figure it out, but hey, you get there.
If some fans don't know what we're talking about, Paul, explain it to them.
Well, just go. Just Google. Here, I'll tell you. Easiest thing to do. Go to YouTube and write and click on and type out Steiner math. You'll get the Steiner first math clip. You can watch it. There you go. All right. Leland Patterson, my buddy, ad-free show guy, always hitting me up on the Kyoto show. He has a question, and he says, Kurt, any chance of making chicken snacks nut-free? My daughter loves them, but I can't send them to her school with her because people, the other kids there, have peanut allergies.
Right. Well, there is one product, one that we have, chicken snacks. It's cinnamon swirl. There are no nuts in that.
Okay.
And that's a kid favorite because it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's really good. I actually love them. They're a little bit, tiny bit higher in sugar just because of the flavor, because we wanted kids to enjoy something, but not that much, just a couple of grams of sugar more. But those are awesome. That's my favorite flavor. I just choose not to eat it because it's a little, it really is only 2 grams of sugar.
I know you're anal retentive right now with your diet. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. There you go. So the cinnamon swirl, Leland, that's where it's at. And who knows, you did say you're coming out with some more flavors soon. So maybe there could be.
Yeah,
some.
We're doing dessert flavors. That should be awesome.
Yeah. That's just what we need. More desserts. I'll tell you that. Listen, before I ask the next question, Kurt, you're sitting there mopping your nose, your nostrils. Are you having allergy attacks right now? What's going on? Are the rabbits, are you allergic to the bunnies?
My nose is running. I can't stop it. It's like a sib.
I just, you know, we got to clarify what's going on here. Cause every time I look at you, I see the old hanky coming up around the nostrils. All right. So Braun Skello's up next, guys. Watch the show on YouTube. That's all I can say. You'll be as entertained as I am. What's your favorite piece of merch that was ever released? I've met you a few times, Kurt. I also want to say thank you for always being a class act. Braun Skello, you nailed it. He is a class act. But do you have a favorite piece of merch that was ever released of yours?
You know what? I love the You Suck mug.
Could you literally suck out of the mug? I mean, yeah.
Giving somebody a gift that says you suck on a mug, you know,
yeah.
So they can get coffee every morning. That's awesome. But my favorite was what I sold the most. It was my It's True t-shirt.
It has to be your favorite
t-shirt. Red, white, and blue. It's true. And it was a great t-shirt. But I sold a lot of those. That was my rookie year. And, you know, I never sold as many t-shirts the rest of my career as I did my first year.
Could we redo that shirt for the Kurt Angle Show store? Is there any kind of license?
It's true.
Yeah. I didn't know if there was any kind of, hey, you can't do that. That was ours.
Yeah, there is, but we'll do it anyway.
But fuck it. I love it. I love it when you have that attitude. Coming soon to Box of Gimmicks. It's true. His number one selling t-shirt. Keep your eye. I love how you said your favorite piece of merchandise. Not because it looked nice. Not because it felt good. No, it was my number one seller and I made the most money, as it should be.
Well, I have to tell you this. It wasn't that much money.
Okay. You weren't in the stone cold money.
I wasn't a merchandise guy. Even Vince McMahon came to me and said, listen, we can't use the word Olympic. We can't use the Olympic rings. You're not going to do merchandise. I'm going to pay you to wrestle. I think I told you this before, Paul. And I was like, well, I do want to make money on merchandise. He says, you can't do it.
When you hear Austin talk about all the money.
I had merchandise, but I didn't have a lot.
And dude, especially when you hear Austin now, I think he came out recently. He said, hey man, that Austin 316 shirt, I made 7, maybe 8 figures off that shirt still to this day.
Listen, he, in 1 year, he made $12 million on merchandise. And that was the 316 shirt. That's when it came out. $12 million. He told me, I was like, holy crap. He only made $2.5 million wrestling. You know what? And Vince McMahon, Vince said, I pay you to wrestle. Vince, I'm not going to lie to you. He paid me well. I made more than Austin did with wrestling. I didn't make nearly as much as Austin did with merchandise. But Vince took care of me on the back end with wrestling. Merchandise, I made, I'll give you just roundabout figures, between 700 and 900 grand a year. Wasn't a lot. It's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but not for being a big star like that.
Yeah.
For some reason, Vince just told me, hey, can't do anything with you with merchandise. So just wrestle. And I would come up with merchandise ideas and Vince would utilize them. But, you know, I didn't sell like Stone Cold. And I was a heel most of my career, too.
Since we're on merch, let's talk about then you transition to TNA. I guarantee you the merch there was just not happening, not selling.
You know what? I did all right with TNA.
Did you? Okay.
Believe it or not. Yeah, we were selling pretty well the first few years. I mean, I would say between 2007 and 2010, everybody's making pretty good money on merch.
Do you have any roundabout figures? You told us what your WWE. What about roundabout for TNA year? Your best
TNA $400,000.
Okay, mean, that's pretty solid.
Pretty impressive.
That's more than I thought. Okay. TNA,
yes.
Not bad at all. All right. JT Energy, hashtag believe in the energy. He says, what's your favorite memory from the state of Iowa during your travels? Do you have a favorite memory from Iowa?
Yeah, I got inducted into the Dan Gable Wrestling Museum Hall of Fame. What to be in that Hall of Fame is such a huge honor. Dan Gable is the biggest name in amateur wrestling. He's the guy that made it all happen. He's the one that made it mainstream. Iowa wrestling back then in the 80s was, they won 9 straight national titles. Dan Gable was just not just the best wrestler of all time, but the best coach of all time. And what were we talking about?
Just your best memory of Iowa.
My best memory. Yeah. Getting inducted to that Hall of Fame. It was incredible. I mean, having Dan Gable there and having him give me
my plaque
was really cool. You know, I was coached by Dan Gable too in the 1995 world team. And he abused the shit out of us. Okay. I mean, this guy, when you train with him, you're going to work your ass off. It's called exhaust training.
Oh yeah.
That's when you train till you're exhausted. And that's when the training actually starts. It was ridiculous.
Mm, you've talked about that before too. That sounds exhausting. So there you go.
Hey guys, need to call a quick time out here. Wanted to tell your listeners what I've been telling my listeners over at OU Didn't Know for a while now about all the cool things happening over at adsfreeshows.com.
On a bonus episode of ARN, the Enforcer watches back Beach Blast 92 with the ultimate heel and babyface in Rick Rude and Ricky Steamboat.
Draw me a babyface, something that everybody could get behind, kids, women, old folks, young folks, men, you know, all guys wanted to be him. Women, I'm sure, wanted to be with him. He was the all-around package.
On volume 55 of the Ask Conrad series, Conrad talks about some of his dream podcast partners, including a couple of degenerates.
You know, from inside the business and taking over and NXT and all that, I don't think you could get a better podcast partner than Triple H there, just because he's done so much. However, if you're talking about wanting to learn more about the psychology of wrestling and what makes a match and how to develop talent and all that, could you beat Shawn Michaels?
That's just a small taste of what we got waiting for you. With 4 levels to choose from, see for yourself why Ads Free Shows is the best value in wrestling today. Sign up now at adsfreeshows.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Jesse Kavanaugh, son of Ben, is up next. The one question I've always wanted to ask you, Kurt, what was the feeling like when you won the WWE title for the very first time? I was excited. I just want to know your feeling right there and then when it happened.
I didn't think one fan was excited I won. I thought everybody hated me.
Well,
but you know what? It was awesome. It almost felt as good as the Olympic gold medal. Not quite, but almost. And the reason is, I beat The Rock for the world championship, my first world championship. It was only when I was 10 months into the business. I was relatively new, and beating The Rock for the world title and the company showing me that they had confidence in me to be the champion at that stage of my career gave me a lot of confidence. So winning that world title wasn't just about winning the world title. It was about the company having faith in you to continue on and be their champion. And I had a good run. I had a good 6-month run back then. If you remember in the early 2000s, nobody had a long run with world titles. No. It was 2-3 months at a time. It wasn't a lot.
It solidified you as upper echelon, Kurt, and such an upper echelon talent in such a short time frame, you know, to do that. I mean, good night. Welcome back. You had the tears. You had the hair, you had the championship belt at such a young age. I mean, it was amazing. It was so cool to his point, you know, to Jesse's point. And as fans, whether we loved or hated you, we knew you had arrived and were big time.
It was pretty cool, man. I'll never forget. You know what? I was really happy that The Rock was cool with it. Like, he was like, listen, you're the man now.
That's awesome.
And it was wow, you know, here's The Rock, the biggest name in the business. Him and Stone Cold are two biggest names at that particular time. And here he's telling me, you're the man. It was a great feeling.
There you go. All right. Drew Matthews is up next. Did you ever have the opportunity to wrestle Undertaker at Mania? And if so, why did it not work out? So was there ever a discussion about a Mania match with you and
Taker? Yes, there was. It didn't happen. The reason why we were trying to get it to happen in 2006, Undertaker and myself. Undertaker went to Vince and said, listen, I want to wrestle and go at WrestleMania. And at this particular time, up until then, Undertaker did not have a WrestleMania type of match that he wanted. He always wrestled like Giant Gonzalez or somebody that he was trying to make as a wrestler. And he didn't get a lot of great matchups. He eventually did. He ended up working Triple H and Shawn Michaels. But up until then, he didn't wrestle anybody that would have given him a five-star match at WrestleMania. So he wanted to do it with me. And Vince was like, ain't going to happen because Kurt's our champion. And Undertaker, I don't want you to beat Kurt for the world title because I don't want you to be the world champion right now. And Undertaker, I don't want you to lose your undefeated streak. So you guys aren't going to do it. What we're going to do is we're going to have it the month before at No Way Out. He granted us his wish, but just not at WrestleMania. He decided to do it the month before just to entertain us, just so we could say, Vince, this is what we could have done at WrestleMania. And that is one of my best matches of all time. No Way Out against The Undertaker in 2006. We had a blowaway match. I mean, it was incredible. And I wish that would have been at WrestleMania. That would have been one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time.
We watched that one together and covered it. Fantastic match. Oh, what could have been? Kurt and Undertaker at WrestleMania. Now, listen, you would have had to lose because the streak was going to, you know.
Yep. I would have had to lose. But, you know, Vince didn't want – you know what's crazy? Vince didn't want Taker to win the belt, but I ended up losing the belt anyway to Rey Mysterio.
Right. So,
like, why not just give it to Taker?
What's the point?
And, you know, have him wrestle Rey.
Yeah. All right. Up next is Keegan Dimitri Havoc. And, you know, Keegan, he's a big time fan and follower on social media. What are things you would keep? And also, what would you take away from pro wrestling today from in-ring and psychology perspectives?
Well, pro wrestling today is a lot different. It's a lot more high action, a little more high flying, a lot of acrobatics. They do less selling, less storytelling. So I just think that pro wrestling, these guys should go back to the way it was and start doing some, you know, chain wrestling and certain technique to make it basic, because that's the art of the sport, is telling a story, having the good guy out wrestle the bad guy at the beginning. Then having the bad guy cut the good guy down and get heat on him. And then have the good guy make the comeback, and then you have the finish. Does the bad guy cheat and win, or does the good guy overcome and win? These are simple ways of doing it. And the thing is, now we got complicated. Now you don't know who the baby and the heel is. They go out there, and they're both doing high-flying stuff, and they're trying to out-wrestle.
You're popping for both of them.
Yeah, you don't have the heel, you know, beating down the baby face and, you know, cheating and, you know, breaking them in the eyes and all that stuff. It's just different today. But I understand, you know, it's what fans want right now is the high-flying, high-action kind of wrestling, which I totally understand. But eventually, someday, they're going to have to get back to it.
I do would say, though, we are seeing some really great storytelling when it comes to the Bloodline stuff and everything that they've been doing.
On TV, the storyline going on right now. Yeah. You know what? It was the best thing that they have done in the last couple of years. I was really thinking Roman hold this title for so long, and not that I'm against it. I just think it's been too long. But these guys, having these guys turn on Roman – yes. What a great storyline. I mean, they just turned shit into Shinola. They really did. It's not that Roman being champion is shit. I'm not saying that at all. He deserves to be champion. He is the man. But they were able to turn this into an incredible storyline that the fans are really into. And this is something they needed right now.
They continue to find a way to evolve the story at every turn. To make it like just when you think it's peaked, now all of a sudden Night of Champions happen and more holy shit moments.
I just wonder if they're making it up as they go along or if they were planning this.
What do they have?
It looks like they've been planning this, but you never know.
I mean, who do they have? Who's the writer of this? Do they bring in the guy from Game of Thrones? I mean, what is happening here?
I don't know. If it's Brian Gewirtz from a remote location.
But you know what? I guarantee you, Paul Heyman's got to be heavily involved. He's a mastermind.
Paul's part of it.
Yeah, he's a mastermind.
Especially him being, you know, with Roman. And
all that. Yeah, he's heavily
involved. He's definitely a huge part of this. And I think that it's a lot of his ideas that are coming through right now.
Yep, I completely agree. Portillo is up next. Portillo the dog is his Twitter handle. And he says, best segment you were ever a part of for wrestling. So is there a segment that stands out to you there? Like, man, that was the best friggin' segment I was ever a part of.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you this right now. It wasn't a wrestling segment. It was the milk truck.
Okay, yes, that's true.
Sacramento, California, in that arena. And dousing down Stone Cold Steve Austin and Stephanie McMahon with milk and the Alliance, it was the best feeling in the world. I was on cloud nine that night. It was one of those things. You remember when Austin did the beer truck?
Yes.
It was the same thing. It was an incredible moment. And the great thing was it was tied to Stone Cold. Because now I'm doing the milk on Stone Cold, who did the beer on Vince.
Yeah.
So it continued the storyline, which I thought was really cool.
And a close second, you would say, was what, Booker T. Sharmell, or go back in the archives and listen to that one.
Yes,
I love secret of that. All right, Lucha and Serio says, you've said that you would have loved to work with Bret Hart. I mean, he just said it right here on this show. I think we all know that it would have been a superb match, but can you elaborate on the specifics? What do you see in the Hitman that would translate into a fantastic contest between you two? Thanks.
Similarities. That's what it is. He's all about technique. I'm all about technique. We have a lot of repertoire moves that are identical. I really enjoy watching Bret work. I love the way he takes his time. He is really just an incredible athlete, and he's even a better in-ring worker. I mean, there's a difference between being an athlete and a worker. A worker is the one with experience. You know how to tell a story.
Yes, and, there you go. Tell the story.
Your move set's good. The athleticism is a different thing, but he has both, and he's the full package.
Technique. He's a technician, knows all the moves, the similar skill sets in terms of your move sets. And man, what a fun match to think about. Shane Hernandez is up next. Hey, Kurt, do you have a favorite angle slam you delivered to someone? Top ones that come to my mind are the Mae Young one and the super angle slam to Shane McMahon in the King of the Ring 2001.
You know what about it? Both of those are in my top three.
Oh, there you go.
Mae Young, 81 years old. I got the angle slam that old bastard. I loved it. You know what? She's crazy, man. I love working with that woman.
Oh, I know. You told us. She had her tongue in your ear, and you loved every minute of it. Yeah. You told us.
She said, I think I told you this. She said, I want you to spike the fuck out of me.
She did. Yes, you told me that. And you,
but my best one was Shane McMahon, because that was off the top rope on a wooden board.
Yeah,
that was the highest one. Thank God I never tried it from the top of the cage. I think I would do it myself.
That's probably the only thing you didn't try off the top of the cage. I mean, all the stupid moonsaults you tried to kill yourself with. Good God, I
did some crazy shit.
All right, let's go. NHL, FNA, F gamer. Okay. What's your favorite Undertaker Kurt Angle moment? Do you have one aside from you having an orgasm when his music hits? Do you have another favorite Undertaker Kurt Angle moment? Cause that's pretty favorite for me. If you know
what? Go ahead. I had a great moment. It was a very intimate moment.
Here we go.
We got done wrestling a match overseas. I believe it was in Japan. And I put my hand out to shake Undertaker's hand.
Oh, here we go.
I put his hand out. I shook his hand. I said, how about a hug? And he pulls in for a hug, and I grab him. I kiss him right on the lips.
Yeah, I've seen it.
That is my favorite thing I did with Undertaker. He wanted to kill me. I mean, I bet. And you know what? Later on that night, we were in the plane, and he just wanted me to know that he was thinking about me. He came over and he put his nose this far away from my nose while I'm sleeping. And I woke up and he goes, I just want to tell you, I could get you at any time.
Wow. Wow.
So scary, like Undertaker right here. But He didn't do anything to me, thank God. But I think, I'm not saying that he enjoyed the kiss, but I think he got a
kick out of it.
It was amusing. Yeah. He was laughing. Yeah.
That's cool. Now, let me ask you a question, because we've heard about how Vince wanted to wrestle with you on the plane, you know, wanted to try to challenge some Kurt Angle. What if Taker, did he ever do anything like that? Like, come on, Kurt, let's see what you got.
Oh, I don't know if I would, man.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Would you? You were ready for Brock.
Well, I can tell you this. Taker can throw some really hard soup bones. He's got some great punches. And let's just say I'm beating him in wrestling. He's probably going to beat the shit out of me.
All right. So you know that. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Taker's so a badass, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, there you go. All right. Marco Gamb says, favorite moment featuring The Rock. And if you tell me you kissed him on the lips, then we're going to need to start figuring this thing out.
If I kissed The Rock, he's so good looking, I would enjoy it.
Your wife wouldn't stop kissing you after that.
That is my dream guy.
Your dream.
I hope this makes the wire.
Yeah, he's your hall pass.
Oh, now what was the damn question?
Favorite moment featuring him.
My favorite moment with Rock was when we did a pretend where he drank. He was giving me the, you know, like the rub.
Of course he was.
Not that kind of rub.
Paul. Oh, okay. Sorry, you started this.
I offered him a glass of milk, and he took it and he drank it, and it was like a. It was like he was giving me the rub. Don't.
I won't. Go ahead.
Because I can't think of anything else to say right now. He was giving me the rub to put me over.
Yeah.
That didn't sound good. Roll me over.
What is going on? Oh, man. And it doesn't help. His name's The Rock. All right. So he was giving you the rub to roll you over. This is off the rails. Oh, man. We've lost it here on the Kurt Angle Show. So what happened? So he gave you the... Let's try to...
One listener right now.
We don't. They've all tapped out. They were like, we thought you were wholesome, a milk drinker, a churchgoer, and you boys are just losing your mind like 7th and 8th graders. Oh, shit. This is so fun. All right. Sorry, Marco. He had a lot of fun with The Rock. Okay. Well, let's just leave it at that. Next up from Jay Brasina. Both of you are in your prime. Who would you choose to wrestle if you were booked in an Iron Man match? If you and the other wrestler were in your primes, who's the one guy you would say, let's do an Iron Man match? I have an idea for somebody, but you go ahead.
Well, I already said this a million times. Bret Hart, okay. Without a doubt. I mean, we're talking Iron Man match. That my minutes, favorite baby. Iron Man match was Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. And there was not one finish in that hour. I think that's amazing that you don't have a finish and the match is that exciting. That is fucking awesome. I would love to have a match with Bret Hart, an Iron Man match, where neither of us have a pinfall in that hour, just like Shawn Michaels. When you do a match like that and people are praising it and there's no finish, that's pretty impressive.
I'll throw out another name that I would love to see. Bryan Danielson. You know him as Daniel Bryan, obviously, in WWE days. Man, I would love to see an Iron Man.
You know what? Today, someone today, I'd say Kenny Omega or Bryan Danielson. I would even say Bryan Danielson even more than Kenny, because Bryan is able to go that long.
Oh, he's out of control.
He's a machine, man. He's a monster. He could go.
He just said his resting heart rate has the AEW doctors scratching their heads. It's like 48 or something, 46. I forget what he said.
I can imagine, man.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. All right. Sean Berkey is up next. Always putting the shows over on Twitter. We love you, Sean. He said, what is your favorite movie and your favorite television series?
My favorite movie is Rocky. I love Rocky.
Okay.
All of them. They're my favorites. I absolutely adore Rocky. I think he's awesome. The favorite TV show, I've always been into The Walking Dead, and I started watching it because of my nephew. And then when he got kicked off the show, I still watched it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Your nephew was on it. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I think what happened was, and I don't know if I'm right, but this is what I heard. The guy that invented it or came up with it, Nicotera, I believe they let him go. And all the actors had to make a choice. Were they going to stay or were they going to go? And I think John went with Nicotera. And
John Bernthal, everybody.
That's what I was told. I don't know if it's true or not. John didn't tell me this. It's just I think I read it somewhere, and I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Hey, it's the Kurt Angle Show, so whatever you say, we're going to just nod and continue on. And
it's going to make headlines.
It will. I can't wait. Outside of the other one we just did, which is going to be everywhere. Deuce Pritchard is up next. That's right. Good old Deuce, the brother of Tom and Bruce. He says, Meatloaf once sang that he would do anything for love, but he wouldn't do that. You've given everything and done everything for wrestling, both amateur and professional. What is the one thing that you won't do? I would do anything for love. You know what?
This might be lame, but I would never in my life do a job for Paul Bromwell.
Oh,
ain't gonna happen. Never gonna happen. No, not.
That's there you go. He's never doing the job. I'm always doing the job. What else is new? There you go. I love it. Thanks, Deuce. Send in more questions. That was fun. Putting You Over's up next. You're a phenomenal drummer, Kurt. Okay, I guess Putting You Over knows about your drumming skills.
20 years of drumming.
Was there ever talk of working that talent into a storyline?
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I had this dream.
I'm glad that you don't. Thank you. Go ahead.
I had this dream, Paul.
Okay.
I knew Chris Jericho was a lead singer for his band.
Oh, this is going
to
be
fun. We were in WWE. And every day I wanted to go up to him and just say, hey, can I be part of your band? And we could do an album and WWE could record it and we could be big stars, rock stars. And I thought, you know what? I'm a drummer. I'm really good. So I think Chris would take me in. But the problem is he already had a drummer. So I never asked him. I wish I would have.
Yeah.
And there could have been two drummers in his band. You never know.
I don't want to work. I just want to bang on the drum all day. Hey, Kurt, what is your favorite song or songs to play on the drums?
Oh, Tom Sawyer.
Okay.
Whoa, man.
Little Rush.
Kurt is a badass.
Badass drummer.
It took me 5 years to perfect that song. The drums in that song are the most difficult drumming I've ever seen.
And you can play it perfect.
I can play it perfectly. Yeah.
Cold drum solo,
everything. I learned that from a T. I listened to that music all day, that song, every day, all day long. And I got it down and boom, 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 boom. It was just.
Do you have a drum set at the house?
Nope. I sold mine.
Damn it. I want to hear Kurt Angle play some drums.
You know what? I'm thinking about getting electronic drums because that way I won't make a bunch of noise in the house. You know, electronic drums, you have the earphones on. It makes a sound in your earphones.
Yeah. So nobody else hears it. Yeah.
Pads, you can hear the sound in your earphones.
Dude, we got to do a live show, me and you, okay, somewhere in Pittsburgh area, and part of it, the closing of it, will be you with doing a drum solo. I'm calling it.
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you because of my neck.
Oh, now your hands don't work.
No. But I can still go. I just sometimes the sticks fall out of my hands. So
I think that's because you're doing something else with your hand, Kurt. It's called the knuckle shuffle. All right, here we go. Look at you. He's drumming, guy. He's air drumming right now on the show. Look at, he's going crazy. This is something.
Fight Plus is the ultimate digital platform for live sports and entertainment, and they're now offering a free 7-day trial at tryfight.com. Fight Plus is packed with a premium live event schedule, over 1,000 hours of live action every year, and a library of more than 4,000 hours on demand, plus exclusive content you can't get anywhere else. Fight is a great partner of ours. They support us, so let's support them. Give that free 7-day trial a shot, and you'll be a member for life. That's tryfight.com. TryFite.com.
Jacob Grandi, we need to do an Ask Kurt Angle at least once a month. This is too much fun. Who belongs on your Mount Rushmore of Impact Wrestling? Top four Impact. Mount Rushmore.
Oh, gosh, man. That's tough.
Well, you got to go AJ and Samoa. Two of them.
Yep. I'm going to take those two.
Okay.
I'm taking those with me. I'm trying to think. You got to put Sting up there.
He's
just an icon. You have to. I have so much respect for him. You know, he's such an incredible athlete. What he was able to do in wrestling – and especially being non-political.
He has played his cards right
in his life. Yeah. And he's always been able to stay on top, which is pretty incredible. And he's not an asshole.
Right.
So, you know, he's just a nice guy.
He was never a Kurt Angle type.
People are like, I don't want to upset Sting. I don't want to upset Sting because he's such a good guy. I don't know why, but, you know, if you know, I would imagine that an asshole could come in and just say, fuck you, Sting. But no one's ever done that for him. I mean, look at WCW, all those politics down there, he was still on top.
He's beloved in AEW. There's talk of a potential at some point, maybe a retirement send off type thing for him, and it will be amazing. He's just a legend. He's a legend. So we got Sting.
Sting, AJ, Joe.
Yeah, number four. Man. Dude, I got to put you on that Mount Rushmore.
I don't put myself on
it. Okay, so then who's your fourth?
Gosh, man. That is tough. I don't know. I don't know if I would go with Jeff Jarrett or Bobby Roode.
Okay.
Roode was really, really good. Even Bobby Lashley. But, you know, Jeff's up there, I think.
Yeah.
Jeff deserves it.
Yeah. Nah, it's cool. I'm with you. All right, Robert Holt is up next. 2% or whole milk? Just kidding, man. We know you're a 2% guy, though.
Yes, less fat.
There you go. Of course. What Olympic athletes do you think could have made a successful transition to sports entertainment?
We talk about wrestlers or athletes?
Whatever. You pick.
Okay. Well, you know what? I would say Jordan Burroughs. I don't know if you know who he is. Olympic gold medalist in freestyle wrestling.
Okay.
Phenomenal athlete. African-American kid. The best athlete I've seen since Kenny Monday in amateur wrestling. Kenny Monday was a 1988 Olympic gold medalist. And he was the guy, the only guy to beat Dave Schultz.
Okay.
And Dave was my coach for Foxcatcher. Dave Schultz, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. He couldn't beat Kenny Monday. Kenny was really good, but this guy, Jordan Burroughs, I think he would have done extremely well in professional wrestling. And you know what? You never know. He might end up doing it. He's about 180 pounds, you know, when he's soaking wet, but
right. So,
but he has the athleticism to make up for it.
And you know what it is? It's like you need to be dynamic, right? Explosive, athletic. I love seeing some of the guys from the amateur ranks now. Chad Gable, he's one of my favorites to watch. Good he wrestler. Is.
He's not only entertaining, but he's an incredible wrestler.
Yeah. Shoosh, dude. Okay. All right. Pepo is up next. We're going to call him Pepo, P-E-P-O. He says, what would you call wrestlers backstage or in real life? By their real names or by their wrestling names?
I don't even know the real names.
So you just called Taker. You didn't call him Mark Taker, Cal. Yeah.
Everybody. Kane. I didn't know his name was Glenn Jacobs. At least 10 years in, I didn't know.
Right.
Triple H. Paul Levesque, I know his name now.
Yeah,
but, Levesque. The only ones that I call by their real names are the McMahons.
Right. But everybody, you just called them by their show names.
Yep.
There you go. Okay, so that's what we should all do. Don't go up to the wrestler and be like, hey, Mr. Glenn Jacobs, can you sign this for me? He's going to look at you and just pound drive the shit out of your head. Okay? Let's see here. How would Vince treat people? I've always wondered that. When you're a new wrestler coming up and all that, how would Vince treat people?
How would Vince treat people?
Just in general, how would he treat wrestlers? How was his view?
He's always cool.
Just always cool.
He's very professional, very friendly, very inviting. I would tell you this: the first time I met Vince, he was cool, very nice, easy to get along with. Last time I met with him. Before I left WWE in 2006, he wanted to beat my ass.
Yeah, I remember that story.
I was getting two sides of Vince McMahon, but I deserved that, by the way. He should have whipped my ass after the stuff I put him through. But Vince is really cool. He's really professional. He knows how to talk to people. He is who he is because of the respect he has for others.
He was actually so cool that he sat there and helped coach and produce when you and Stephanie kissed each other, his own daughter. I don't know how much cooler it can get than that. I mean,
he was only like 6 inches away too.
Oh, now that is intimidating, bro.
Yeah.
I said kiss her.
I'm like, I can't slip her the tongue.
Daddy's watching. He probably would have wanted you to do it. Do it, Kirk. I said tongue. All right. Aunt WB, which match do you regret the most going through physicality wise and why? Is there one match, man, really just took the yeah. toll on you?
The Shane McMahon street fight.
Okay.
That was a King of the Ring, I believe.
Yep. And,
it took a lot out of both of us. We ended up in the hospital. We were so dumb. We were high-fiving each other. We were in wheelchairs. Like, hey, that was awesome. And here we are. I was out for a month, and Stone Cold Steve Austin was out for a month. But if that didn't happen, Steve Austin and myself wouldn't have done the funny pre-tapes we did.
That's true.
The cowboy hats and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We were out with injury, and Vince was like, I can't send my two top wrestlers home. Why don't I keep them on the road and entertain the fans? We'll do some funny skits. And that's when that started.
By the way, you said cowboy hats, and this is a great time to talk about it. Go to Box of Gimmicks, look at Kurt Angle's show, and we have that amazing cowboy hat silhouette style shirt, the Jim Cornette style shirt, and it's you in the cowboy hat. Money. I'm going to get it. I got to get it because I want to wear it on the show. But Dom D'Angelo did it, and it's very similar to that corny style that's very popular. Get you one and help support the Kurt Angle show. Very cool. All right. Lewis Davies is up next. What's your favorite match that you weren't in that you wish you were in?
Oh, yeah. Why are you going to ask me that? Like,
yeah, let's just ask you this. What's one of your favorite?
I wasn't in it, and it's my favorite match.
Yeah, but do you have a favorite match that you weren't involved in, like just as a fan?
Okay. Yeah, hands down. WrestleMania 20, Triple H versus Shawn Michaels versus Chris Benoit. Best triple threat I ever saw in my life. Me and Eddie had a banger of a match that night, and that triple threat blew us out of the water. I was so pissed off. I was so jealous. I was like, son of a bitch, man. They stole the show. And Eddie and I had a banger. I mean, we really had a great match.
Guys, that sounds like right. You could go back and watch those two matches. That's your homework from the Kurt Angle show. Go back and watch those two matches. And
I'm not going to lie to you. I had a great triple threat match with Undertaker and The Rock.
We know.
I don't know if anyone's ever seen that, but it's pretty damn good.
You've put it over quite a bit.
As Benoit, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. No, it was good. We got to talk about that one here on the show as well, so check that out. Mike, the Jersey Devil _82, assuming Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin weren't available, who would have you wanted to be part of Team Angle?
Well, I would pick the next slew of wrestlers, probably Jack Swagger, and Chad Gable and Otis.
Okay.
So, you know,
whoever those wrestlers were
came through. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always want amateur wrestlers in Team Angle. I'm not going to pick a football player or a baseball player. They have to be amateur wrestlers.
He was looking for that pedigree, ladies and gentlemen. That was the key for Team Angle. All right.
You have to be an amateur wrestler to be a part of Team Angle.
There you go. Trevor Price is up next. His handle is at Donkey Punch Incorporated. He said, if you were to manage a new version of the world's greatest tag team, who would be the third man with you and Shelton?
Oh, gosh. You know what? The way he's going right now, he's cracking me up. It's Chad Gable.
There you go. I mean,
you got to go with him. He was an Olympic wrestler. He's funny as hell. I love the kid. He's a great technical wrestler. He's definitely going to be a part of Team Angle. Yes.
Okay. All right. I like it. Good answer. Tuesday the 10th is up next. Have you tried Promised Land chocolate milk? Because it's ruined me for all other milk forever. Have you had Promised Land chocolate milk?
Now, why would I try Promised Land if it's going to ruin me for all other milk?
He doesn't want to be ruined.
I don't want to ruin my taste for milk. I know it's chocolate milk, but it's not exactly milk. So you can't really include that as part of milk. That's chocolate milk. They're two different things. One is milk and it's white, and one is chocolate milk and it's brown.
That's like dessert milk. Yeah.
Dessert milk.
Have you ever had raw milk, Kurt? Like fresh from the udder? I mean, just freaking uttered, right?
I was at a farm one time and oh my gosh, I don't even think it was pasteurized. I ended up having diarrhea for 2 days.
He had Olympic shits for the next 2 days. Oh, man, that's hilarious. Okay, so he hasn't had Promised Land. Sorry, Tuesday the 10th. Leon Kassab is up next. He said, if you could have competed in any other Olympic sport, what would it have been? Could we have seen you as a swimmer, Kurt? Could we have seen you as a shot putter?
I swim like a rock. Shot put, maybe, perhaps. But what I'm going to go with the easiest route, because a lot of people have done this. A lot of athletes that retire from the sport, they go over to bobsledding, because if they're powerful and quick and athletic, it's a great sport to get into. It's a really easy sport, to be honest with you. It's shifting your weight and making sure that, you know, you have all the right, what's it called when you're going down the
hill? Yeah, velocity, trajectory.
Yeah. So, but I've noticed that a lot of people have switched over from other sports to that sport to make the Olympic team. I was thinking about doing that at one particular time because somebody asked me. I believe it was Herschel Walker that was going to try to do it, and he'd ended up backing out. Either that or he didn't make the team. I don't know if he went through with it.
Yeah. You know, the other one I thought, because you were showing us everything that you do with your hands, from drumming to whoever knows what else. What about curling? You could have really just hit that broom across the ice. Have you ever seen curling?
Yeah. Curl. Yeah. You know what? I don't have the patience for that, man.
No.
I need action. I need, you know.
Right. Okay.
Can't just do curling.
Up next is from the wee joke, the W-E-E joke, the wee joke. Here we go. Okay. Grateful if you could discuss the topic of autograph sellers who stalk wrestlers at airports and hotels. They seem an entitled plague, and I would like to hear your take on whether you had any such experiences to discuss. Thank you. So what do you think of the autograph hounds when you're at the airport, when you're trying to twirl your spaghetti at your favorite Italian restaurant?
I never had a clue that these guys were selling the photographs. I thought they were legitimate fans that wanted a bunch of photos signed for them. So when I realized that I was being an idiot, I started only.
I never turned
fans down for autographs.
I know, man. You're gracious.
I will sign one per person.
Okay.
So, and I'm not going to lie to you. There was a couple of times where I had a guy that had five kids with him, and he'd give all the kids the photos to have signed because he knew I would only sign one per person. But these five kids gave those photos back to the guy so he could sell them. And I caught on to it and I said, listen, don't do that ever again. Don't come to me and ask me for an autograph and have five of your kids ask for autographs too.
Also, you call him out.
Yeah, because I knew he was selling them. And I was right. So I only give one autograph to every person. I don't turn them down. I give them even to the collectors or the people that sell them. I give them one per autograph because a fan deserves an autograph, and I'm not going to turn them down.
There was a clip, I think it was Matt Jackson from the Young Bucks. He says when they get these hounds at, you know, airports and restaurants just sitting there waiting, what he does
I see it all the time.
What he does is he's like, this is for the eBay sellers. And he has like a real short, like line autograph, you know, and then, but the ones where they pay and they sit in line and they do what they're supposed to do to get an autograph. Nice. That's the beautiful signature, yeah. You know, but you know, and I don't know that I don't disagree with that. I mean, come on now.
No, you know what? You know, they're making money and I don't blame them for trying. And I mean, you know, everybody wants to. Fuck.
It just puts a black eye on it for wrestling fans that are just the ones
to a certain degree. Yes.
Especially the ones that are like, hey, they are being, I have a son in me here. Just love your autograph as a keepsake. You know, it does put a black eye for people like that. Adam, the Axe guy's up next. You still suck. And we all love you for it. My question is, who is your current favorite male/female wrestler? Not under the WWE umbrella.
Oh, that's easy. Kenny Omega.
he's going to be Kurt's favorite forever, guys. Forever.
I'm gonna make him my girlfriend.
Now that's the Rock space. Okay. You need to figure out another girl. All right. So Kenny Omega is your favorite male wrestler, not under the WWE umbrella. And you are a big fan of Bryan Danielson. We know that.
I love Bryan Danielson. You know what? Bryan Danielson has been part of WWE. So
they're not currently under the umbrella. Here's another one not currently under the WWE umbrella. Formerly Sasha Banks, now Mercedes Moné.
You know what? She's a good one to pick. That would be my favorite female. Listen, I love Charlotte Flair. I think she's the best of all time. I actually think she's the best wrestler in the world overall. I really do. I think Charlotte Flair has had more consistent five-star matches than any other person. She is really, really good. But Sasha Banks, Mercedes,
yeah,
she's pretty awesome too.
We had her on the show. We loved every minute of it, dude. Yeah, she was great. Was
awesome. Yeah.
All right, I'll do one more, and then, dude, we're at the top of the hour, and we still got a ton of questions. We've had so much fun, so we'll have to save this. We'll save them, guys. Don't worry, and we'll come back and do it again. GTA clips. You had a brief run in Japan. I was wondering if you would have liked to have gotten in the ring with the great Muda. Kurt Angle versus the great Muda would have been an all-time classic.
Why wouldn't I? That would be a dream come true match for me. The great Muda, I have so much respect for him. He's such a huge legend. And you know what's crazy? He barely ever came over here, and everybody knows who he is. It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
He's so famous all over the world, and he only wrestles basically in Japan for most of the time. And for everybody to know who he is, it shows how big of a star he is.
Late 80s, early 90s, great Muda in WCW. Kurt, I know it was before your time as a wrestling fan. Wrestled, yeah, that's okay. He was in WCW. He wrestled Sting. He was a part with Gary Hart, part of his faction. Man, when we were introduced as kids, as I was a kid then, yes, it's true. It's damn true. He was a game changer. The moonsaults, the everything that he could do in the ring.
He was innovative awesome. Back then, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. Guys, thank you for participating in Ask Kurt Anything. I will save the questions that I have here. We had so many responses, Kurt. Who knew? From now on, we're having it you posted to your Twitter, your personal Twitter.
What, man? Last second, we got it all done, bing and a bang, and here we are.
Buddy, a great show, a fun show. We laughed our asses off, and we could.
It was a good time.
We couldn't have done it without you guys. Listen, remember, check out all Kurt's past top Impact moments. We have a couple Impact shows that are coming up soon. So check them out, impactwrestling.com/packages, and sign up with code Kurt. It goes a long way to help Kurt and I, and we would appreciate that. If your business targets 25 to 54-year-old men, there's no better place to advertise than right here with us on The Kurt Angle Show. That's right. You've heard us do ads for some of the same companies for years, and that's because it works. We have a targeted demographic audience, and we'd love to advertise your product right here. So go to Advertise with Angle. Easy. AdvertiseWithAngle.com right now and find out more about advertising here on The Kurt Angle Show. A few other announcements real quick. Ad-free shows. Check it out. You get a free trial right now, and you get all your podcasts early and ad-free. There's like a dozen podcasts over there, Kurt, including our gem of a podcast that they get to check out over there for just $9 a month.
Lot to choose from.
You get those live experiences also where you can listen into shows. Follow us on social. Check out the YouTube channel. Kurt, our YouTube is about to break 60,000. We're going to 100. That's the goal. And so youtube.com/theanglepod. And then our show handles at the Angle Pod. I'm not going to tell you Kurt's Twitter handle. He's got 85 million followers as it is. I'm kidding. At Real Kurt Angle. Check us out. And also, Kurt, hit us with where they can get those cinnamon swirl chicken snacks where they're peanut free, baby.
These aren't cinnamon swirl.
Okay. These are chicken snacks.
We have chicken snacks and snack smart crispy protein bites. One is chicken protein. One's organic plant protein. They're high protein, low carbohydrate. We have 11 different flavors. You're going to absolutely love the taste. They're all incredible. They're all sweet. Some of them are spicy and sweet. Some of them are just sweet. But for the most part, for the whole part, they're all incredible. You're going to absolutely love them. Go to physicallyfit.com to order yours. And by the way, we're coming out with a new product. It's going to be our whey protein chicken snacks. And they actually taste even better than the chicken protein or the organic plant protein. So we're really excited about releasing those. They're coming out in the next month. So look for it on the website, physicallyfit.com. Order yours, and they'll be sent right to you, and you're going to love them.
Use the code ANGLEPOD and you get 20% off at physicallyfit.com. And my goodness, cinnamon swirl sounds like the hit of the week. That's the hit of the week right here on the Kurt Angle Show. Also, if you don't have enough Kurt Angle in your life, which I know you can't, I don't. I get to spend an hour with him every week and it's not enough. Go to KurtAngleBrand.com for the Kurt Angle lover in your life. And you can find t-shirts. You can find cameo videos. You can find cowboy hats, milk cartons. What else, Kurt? What else am I missing?
Did you say milk cartons?
I did.
Birthday cards?
I did not say birthday cards.
Hey, how about cowboy hats?
I said cowboy hats.
You get anything. Hey, autographed photos, birthday cards, t-shirts, cameo voice messages. You're going to love it. Go to my website, KurtAngleBrand.com, and order whatever you want, and I'll send it right to you.
That's right. And his autograph is a beautiful autograph. He won't give you the eBay signature. No, nope. he'll give you that classic Kurt Angle signature.
KURTANGLE. You can even read it.
For those that can read, he'll take care of you. I mean, I have a beautiful Kurt Angle autograph on this wall, on that wall. My wife thinks I have problems. I'm sure I do. But listen, he'll hook you up there. Dude, I had a blast with you this week, man.
Me too, Paul. I always have fun with you.
Yep, yep. Hey, we're going to be back in a week doing what? We don't know. Derek Sabato, get your act together. Just kidding. Love you, man. Hey, we're going to put our shows together. We're going to get a couple in the can next week. It's June. It's summertime. It's vacation season.
I'm going to enjoy ourselves.
We're going to enjoy ourselves and come back and have a blast here on the show. We can't thank you enough. On behalf of your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell, and we'll see you next week right here on The Kurt Angle Show.
Hey, I got an idea. How about we beat some house payments up this month?
Well, I like the sound of that, Mr. Holly. Here's what we're talking about. You take a little summer vacation from your house payments. You can skip your next two house payments, and you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this. But maybe best of all, in 2 months, you've got a cheaper monthly payment. How much can they save, Big Dust?
$200, $300, $400, $500 a month, baby.
Even more than that. Sometimes fans have saved $600, $700, even $800 a month.
Hang on, baby, but you talking about people with perfect credit, ain't you?
No, sir. You don't need perfect credit to save money. Even credit scores in the 500s will qualify. You can even buy a house with no money down. I'm talking to you if you're still a renter. After all these payments, what have they got to show for it, Macho?
They ain't got nothing. Nothing to show, bro. Brother, nothing at all. Freak out? Freak out, But it's gonna take all day to do, right?
No, sir. Come on, you know the deal. It's a couple of clicks right now. You couldn't even find another apartment this easy. You'd have to pay your first month's rent, your last month's rent, and a security deposit. But we can get you a house of your very own with no money down right now. Whether you're looking to remodel your house, maybe turn your house into your dream home with no money out of pocket, or just get into a brand new house, we can make it happen right now. But it's important to remember when you go there, you're dealing with me, John Red Thompson, First Family Mortgage. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series or bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.